scored 30 or more points yesterday. That means it was a high-scoring fantasy week. And guys, we didn't even have our bonanza yet. That's
you
tonight.
You know, I need this game so badly on FanDuel and so many leagues. And I, as soon as I heard that you'd said this, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I had a lot of good choices this week, and hopefully I didn't jinx it. You know, no Martavis Bryant, Chargers O-line's beat up, Michael Vick's playing, but I still feel pretty good. Anyway, today's episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast is supported by Stamps.com, where you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer for a four-week trial and a special $110 bonus offer. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter the promo code FFT. That's Stamps.com.
Adam.
Yes, sir.
I have to start with this.
All right.
I woke up in such a good mood Sunday. Oh, it was a great morning. Sun was shining. The birds were chirping. The radio was blasting that Kesha song where she's dancing around with the astronauts. And my season was about to get on track. My 0-4 team because of the trade I just made. You want to hear this?
Yes, yes. Wait. What? Which Kesha song has astronauts?
The only one that matters.
Okay, I got to look that up.
Calvin Johnson, Dion Lewis, Jordan Matthews, I traded away for Tom Brady and Jamal Charles.
Wow. You know, I don't know if I liked that one right from the get-go. You gave up a lot, but you did get back a lot.
This is so sad. Like, that was, you've had a rough start to the fantasy football season.
I know. I was giddy over this trade.
Well, you're done now.
It was, well.
You're done. You might
I mean, at least have Brady. You traded one of the two.
Well, did you win? Because if you didn't win, you're done.
I did win.
Okay.
I did win. Yeah.
I was like, 0-4 is pretty much done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's obviously a game tonight, but I'm up by 20 and I'm the only one with a player left. So yeah.
All right. Well, good luck. I hope your player doesn't fumble 11 times. That would be really bad.
That would be all a great story though.
And email us, everybody, at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Scott White. And you probably know our Twitter handles. If you don't know Scott's, it's at CBS Scott White. He's a little bit new to the football podcast, but we're proud to have him on. Question of the day. It's week 6 almost, and I'm asking you this, and I can't believe it. Who would you rather have rest of season, Peyton Manning or Josh McCown? Well said.
That was a pregnant Heath exasperated sigh.
No, I don't want to answer this question. Peyton Manning's awful. He's done.
Yeah, he's struggling.
I think it's probably McCown. It sounds so stupid. But I was just arguing with Chris Towers about this, which we do often about many topics. But I really think that we aren't that far from an alternate universe where it's the end of week 5. The Broncos are 3-2, and there's serious debate over whether Brock Osweiler should be starting.
Wrong. No way.
The Chiefs dropped four interceptions. The Vikings dropped 2.
Doesn't matter.
Back-to-back weeks. He should have 12 at least.
They would not bench Peyton Manning.
If he had 12 interceptions through 5 weeks?
Okay, if he had 12, maybe. But even the great quarterbacks have interceptions dropped.
At least 8 interceptions dropped this year.
So, are you keeping track of dropped interceptions for every quarterback?
I'm just wondering. No. Yeah. But yeah. No one else is throwing him at the rate he is.
How do you know?
Because I watch a lot of football, Scott.
All right, but listen, seriously, McCown or Peyton Manning, who's it going to be? Rest of season. And I will say that Josh McCown has really tough matchups coming up, and that would probably sway me to go with Peyton Manning. But it tells you, you know, how I feel about Peyton Manning. I think he's kind of waiver wire material. McCown has Denver at St. Louis and Arizona and then at Cincinnati in his next 4 games. Okay. So tough matchups.
Peyton Manning has played against the Ravens, who we're pretty sure have a terrible secondary, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. they're very, well, they have a bad pass rush.
He's played against the Chiefs, who coming into this last week have given up more fantasy points to quarterbacks than any other team. He's played against the Raiders last week, which we didn't think was a good secondary at all. And then the Lions and the Vikings, I'm not sure. I don't know that he's played a good defense yet.
Gun to your head, Heath. Who's it going to be?
Give me McCown. Unless it's
McCown.
Honestly, unless it's a 2QB league, I'm probably saying neither.
Probably
cut Peyton for whoever's on the waiver wire, but I'll say McCown.
Look, I think there's a scenario you start either of these guys, even in a standard 12-team league. A lot of quarterbacks have gone down. And
none of them has gone down as fast as Peyton Manning has.
Look, he just barely got he has more interceptions than touchdowns now in the year. I'll give you that. But I think you're kind of overstating his demise a bit. Not saying at all that he's must start or even must own. But he hasn't been the worst quarterback in football, and that's kind of the way you're making it sound.
No, he's just been bottom.
He's been about McCown caliber. McCown's been more productive.
In what way has Peyton Manning been better than McCown?
Just because neither of them are very good, but they're not so bad that they can't take advantage of the weapons they have.
You know, Manning's 23rd right now in fantasy points.
He has more interceptions than touchdowns, as Scott mentioned, through 5 games for the first time since his rookie season.
Basically, he and Matt Stafford have been almost carbon copies of each other.
So, Scott, gun to your head. Sorry to do that to you. Who would you rather have rest of the season, Manning or McCown? And do you think Manning is droppable?
Oh, I think Manning is droppable, sure. Based on the matchups you just rattled off for McCown, I think I am going to lean Manning here. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with he has Demaryius Thomas, he has Emmanuel Sanders, he has guys who, Thomas, they can pick up yards after the catch.
He doesn't have Gary Barnidge, I'll tell you that much.
Wait, I just said Peyton Manning was 23rd, and that's not fair, because on a per-game basis, he's actually 28th.
Oh, man, you hate
He's been really Manning. Close to the worst fantasy quarterback in the league.
He's been terrible. All right, and it's fun, because they play each other this week. Anyway, we'll come back to the Browns passing game in a little bit. And I want to apologize for sounding so nasal. I am not doing the nerd voice. I'm still a little sick getting over it. Also, I need help from the listeners. I won the bet against Jamie. 6.5 points over under for Andre Williams. Jamie liked Andre Williams this week. Andre Williams got 2 goal line carries. He had 2 chances to win the bet for Jamie. He did what he always does and ran right into the line of scrimmage. And, I didn't think he finished with 1 point, maybe 0. I don't even know. I think 0. So I won the bet. Now, I don't know what to make Jamie say on the podcast. Jamie was going to make me say, I'm Big Kane too, and I endorse this player every time I talked about a hurricane or whatever. Okay. I don't know what to make him say. So if you have any ideas, tweet me at Adam Azer. I will pick the best one for tomorrow. At Adam Azer, AIZER. Do not tweet Jamie in it, though. Just tweet at me, and we'll surprise
Keep it a surprise.
If you're curious about the Julio Jones fumble recovery in the end zone for a touchdown, there is a setting in your CBS Sports League, offensive fumble recovery for a touchdown, OFRTD, or individual fumble recovery for a touchdown, IFRTD, that'd be for offensive or defensive players. You can turn that on, you can set a value for that, and you can make that touchdown count. If it's already on, I believe there will be a scoring change tonight. So it will not count yet, but it will. If that setting is on in your leagues, it will count tonight. It takes a while. If that happens, Julio Jones fell on a ball in the end zone, scored a touchdown. It does take a night for our CBS Sports standard scoring to update. You will see that touchdown. If you have any trouble, you can contact our customer service. Let's go to the lead and the big news items here. Kansas City thinks Jamaal Charles tore his right ACL. He tore his left ACL in 2011. He's only missed 2 games since then, but on the assumption that he's out for the season, which we should probably know today, Nile Davis or Sharkandrick West? Davis is 51% owned. West is 1% owned. Both are going to get work. Who do you like, and how good could they be rest of season? Scott, I'll start with you.
Well, I think based on the way the last 2 weeks have gone, the Chiefs are leaning more toward Sharkandrick West as they were considering him more the number 2 guy in Jamaal Charles' place, and certainly he got more work yesterday. Davis, I think, just got a couple carries. Now, Davis has been great in the past when Charles has gone down, so it was kind of surprising that they went away from him as the backup. And I could see him being more involved, but yeah, waivers open Tuesday night. I'm going straight to Sharkandrick West.
I don't particularly want either one of them.
Really?
Neither one of them are really good. Nile Davis has been really good behind offensive lines that have allowed him to make 1 cut and go. This Chiefs offensive line is not good at all right now. And I don't think either one of these, because they're going to share the load. I think West may see, and I'm just guessing, I don't have any inside information, 65%, and Davis sees 35% of the carries. And I don't think either one of these running backs are good enough to put up stats that are going to matter for you I mean, maybe if you're terribly thin at running back, sure, you picked up Charcandrick West, but I don't think there's a chance either one of them are good behind this offensive line on a team that's going to be playing from behind all year long.
Well, that seems to work in West's favor because he has the receiving ability out of the backfield. And a lot of what Charles was getting was on the receiving end. So I don't know. I'm actually surprised to hear you say that because I thought West was going to be the slam dunk number one waiver claim this week.
And, oh, I think he probably will be. I'm just not excited about it.
Well, I'll throw out some names for you on waivers. Charcandrick West or Antonio Andrews?
West is...
I'd rather have Andrews.
An easy call there. How can you say that? It was a three-way split in the Titans' backfield yesterday, and Andrews was the worst of the three.
It's going to be a two-way split in the Chiefs' backfield, and I think the Titans may be better than the Chiefs now.
I don't know if it's so clear
Davis is going to be that close to West's workload.
It does appear that Andrews at least is the goal line back.
Yep.
And he was their leading receiver yesterday as well. I think I would go West, but I think they need to just be done with Bishop Sankey already. It's ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, the other West, Terrence West, he wasn't even part of that three-way split for the Titans yesterday.
That's true.
They get him involved and it's even worse.
All right. Who would you rather pick up, Andre Johnson or Charcandrick West?
I would rather pick up Charcandrick West.
I think that depends greatly on what your team situation is.
Would you drop Jonathan Stewart for Charcandrick West?
I would not.
Yeah, I don't think I would either, but I'm closer to doing that than Heath is.
And I don't particularly like Stewart.
Would you drop any or all Giants running backs for Charcandrick West?
Yes.
Andre Williams, I would.
I don't think I would drop Rashad Jennings.
I wouldn't drop Rashad Jennings.
In PPR, I don't know that I'd drop Vereen, but Jennings is never going to have a startable week for you.
I just think that at this point, they might be done with Andre Williams because he was so bad early in this game, and I think he only got three carries. I don't know. Maybe they'll come back to him, but Williams has done nothing. It's a terrible situation there, so I wouldn't fault anyone for dropping them for Charcandrick West. All right, next topic, Devontae.
Let me clarify. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry, but right. On Charcandrick West, if it's just a situation where all you're losing is your place in the waiver line, then fine, go get him, especially if you have somebody really bad on your bench. I don't want to see people go blow their fab budget on a guy that's not probably going to be special at all.
Well, there haven't been, let's just put this in perspective, because Niall Davis was considered one of the best handcuff options coming into the season. If you drafted Charles, you had to get, Niall Davis. And I have a feeling if Charles went down and West was never in the picture, it was just Niall Davis, who we knew from his prior accomplishments, everybody would be knocking themselves out to get him off the waiver wire. So here's this guy who beat out Niall Davis to be Charles' backup, and you don't think it's a big deal?
I don't think Niall Davis was good in the past. I think Niall Davis had good blocking.
I think the numbers would show otherwise.
He had good blocking, and that's why it's dangerous to look at yards per carry. He had good blocking. He does not have good blocking now. And if Niall Davis
Charles
was
doing so well,
Charles is a great player.
He's one of the best running backs in our generation.
Wouldn't you see a drop off in the production if the offensive line changed that much?
Niall Davis averaged 3.5 yards per carry last year. He was good when he got a lot of touches, but overall he averaged 3.5 yards
per
carry.
That's really bad.
I don't think it changes my point, Adam. If Davis was available and you'd never heard of Charcandrick West before, you'd be tripping over everybody to pick up Niall Davis right now.
That would also mean that Davis was going to get 90%.
Exactly. Exactly. If it were just Charcandrick West, then I think I'd be more excited about picking him up.
But we don't know it isn't. Davis got two carries yesterday and was bad with them.
The Chiefs offense isn't as good for a running back as it used to be, but all right. I'm not taking a side here. I'm probably in the middle of you guys. It's a good debate. Devontae Freeman. 37, 32, and 25 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in his last 3 weeks. Kevin Kloss tweeted, I know everyone should be selling Devontae Freeman, but maybe he was just a good running back on a high octane offense. Maybe he is just a good running back on a high octane offense. I don't think you should be selling Devontae Freeman, man. This guy, he looks really good. He is playing great. What do you guys think about Freeman?
He is. And, you know, I tried to make a case. Last week.
I will give Scott credit. He was the only person in America that 5 days ago thought trading Devontae Freeman for Jamaal Charles was a normal thing. Like, getting Freeman was okay.
And obviously that looks better now that Charles is hurt, and we can't really account for that. But yeah, I think people were being too dismissive of Freeman based on the kind of workload he was getting and the kind of offense he's on and the fact that he's a dual threat back running and catching. And, you know, I didn't even get a chance to watch him those first two games. I did get a chance to watch him yesterday, and man, he's an impressive runner. He's like a little torpedo, like just so slippery that there'll be this little gap and there's like, you know, there's no way somebody can get through that. And he'll like scoot through it, shaking off a couple tacklers along the way. 10 of his carries yesterday went for 7 yards or more.
So we're totally buying in. Legit.
Yes.
Heath?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced he's going to be the number one running back or even top three or four, but I think he's going to be a running back one now. I said running back 15 last week. I would bump that up now to running top 10 running back.
All right, rest of the season, Gurley or Freeman?
I think I might say Gurley.
I'm going to take Freeman, but you're in my mind, you're talking about two top 10 running backs.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Freeman or Jeremy Hill?
Oh, Freeman, for sure.
Yeah. Hill's...
I don't think you can start Jeremy Hill again until you see something change.
I think you missed your chance to trade Hill if you haven't already.
All right, we'll talk more about him later. And finally, is Josh McCown and Gary Barnage, well, let's just say the Cleveland passing game, is the Cleveland passing game for real?
Well, I don't think they have a running game, and I don't think their defense is very good. That sets up pretty well for a team to have a passing game. Gary Barnage continues to make plays in a way that... It doesn't make any sense.
With his feet and his butt, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he's had spectacular catches at the goal line 2 weeks in a row now. I think maybe the one this week was more lucky than spectacular.
I agree.
But it's so difficult. I mean, I had difficulty with Devontae Freeman putting his 2-game sample size of looking phenomenal over his 15-game sample size of looking pretty meh. But I can understand 15 games isn't very big and he wasn't getting touches. Gary Barnage has been in the league for 6 years.
But he wasn't getting a chance either. I don't think it's fair to judge a guy before he really gets a chance. We see it all the time in the NFL.
No.
Guy's just a role player for 5 years. Suddenly he gets a bigger opportunity with a new team.
We don't see that all the time.
It's clear from watching Barnage. He's an athletic tight end. He's one of those built to catch passes. And he's doing it.
He's a big tight end. I'm not sure he looks overly athletic.
I mean,
the catching the ball with your feet thing was fun to watch, but I don't know if that's an athletic move.
That aside, I'm just talking about all the other catches.
You take that catch away, he still has a really good game. Against the team that defends tight ends very well. I just think the question is, are they going to be throwing 45 to 50 times a game?
It kind of looks like they're going to have to.
Yeah, I think he might fall into production. But again, they have tough matchups coming up.
I don't think we can say that because he just played the Baltimore Ravens, who had given up 8 catches for 31 yards on the year to tight ends.
Yeah. Denver, St. Louis, Arizona, and Cincinnati are all in the top 12 in fantasy points against tight ends, and that's his next 4 weeks. So I
would sell Barnage high.
What's that?
I would sell high on Barnage.
57% own.
It's hard to find a tight end that you really feel good about their production every week, though. I mean, even Jimmy Graham, you can't say that about him anymore, you know? It's basically Kelce, Eifert, and, of course, Gronk.
Even Eifert had a couple of down games.
Oh, yeah, and Kelce wasn't good this week.
Kelsey's been crap.
Okay,
and
so
Gronk,
they're not going to be great every week, but you know what I'm saying. You're never taking them out of your lineup because you know the big weeks are going to be really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't there.
Very few tight ends like that. So I think Gary Barnage, just by... I think we're talking about him top five just... because there's nobody else to fill that spot, you know?
Yeah. Well, top five?
No.
Yeah.
Greg Olson. I'd rather have Greg Olson, Martellus Bennett.
It's a close call with Bennett. It's a close call with Bennett.
Top five seems a little high, but I mean...
He's right in the discussion.
Top 10, I could see. I'd rather have Charles Clay.
They're in the
same discussion.
I actually think because the Browns are going to have to throw so much, Barnage will be more consistent than Clay.
And when Sammy Watkins comes back, that could hurt Clay as well. Here's some news for you. LeSean McCoy expected to miss the rest of October. Carlos Williams could miss week 6. I'm sure you're excited to pick up Booby Dixon and Boom Heron after the days.
What a disappointment he was.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well, the problem was, I mean, it's the same thing with Charles Clay. I have a hard time discounting either one of those guys because the Titans held onto the ball for like 16 of the first 20 minutes of the game.
Hmm.
The time of possession was ridiculous in that game. The Bills didn't hardly get to run any plays.
Matthew Stafford's still the Detroit starting quarterback. Justin Forsett left with an ankle injury. Lorenzo Talaferro was inactive, so Buck Allen the guy right now, but don't know the severity. We'll update you tomorrow on Forsett. We'll update you on TJ Yeldon, who thinks he'll be fine. He left with a groin injury. Could look at Bernard Pierce, maybe. They have Houston this upcoming week. And two Giants wide receivers, Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham, both left last night's game with hamstring injuries, but Beckham did return. Not sure how healthy he was, though. He just kind of returned for that last drive out of desperation. They have a Monday night game at Philadelphia. Victor Cruz could come back. That's probably a guy you want to look to pick up. Before we do the winners and losers, let's read an email from Joe from a city 60 miles north of Philadelphia that's also a Billy Joel song. That's got to be Allentown.
Okay.
One of my least favorite Billy Joel songs.
If you have a catalog of favorite and least favorite Billy Joel songs, you're ahead of me on that one.
Are you kidding me? Billy Joel's the best.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not... I'm struggling right now to come up with the name of a Billy Joel song.
Piano Man?
A single Billy Joel song? Heath. That's pretty bad, Heath. I mean, I'm no music connoisseur, but...
Heath, are you like, come on, really here?
That's not my style of music, I'm sorry.
Wow, what do you like? Like, classical?
I'm more of like a Bob Dylan or Biggie type of guy.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So here's the email. It says, good morning, Zoe, Abby, and Telly. I have no idea who those are. It looks like
Sesame Street characters.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
What should Eddie Lacy owners do at this point?
Puke.
What do you guys think?
You know, we pick winners and losers, three winners and losers every week on the Monday podcast. And I was tempted to make him a loser, but what holds me back is just the memory of last year and this same thing happening to both him and Randall Cobb. And it was basically the first five games then too. They're right around. Cobb was having these games where he caught passes for 20 to, he finished with 20 to 40 yards and Lacy was right around 50 yards rushing every week, sometimes less. And then they just suddenly blew up after that. And obviously the Packers have good offense, a great quarterback. It just seems there's a high probability that could happen again.
He's got the Chargers this week at home.
Oh.
He better be good in that game.
That's off a short week too for the Chargers. Wow.
Yes. Because then he gets a bye and he's on the road at Denver, at Carolina. I would probably hope that he blows up against San Diego and then see if I could sell him.
I don't know. Really? I know the Denver and Carolina games could be tricky, but I'm kind of with Scott here. I looked at the numbers from last year. Lacy, I actually went to his first nine games. One thing I noticed about Lacy is that he doesn't have any long runs this year. No runs longer than 16 yards. First nine games of last season, one game with a carry longer than 20 yards, only four rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown. That was through nine games. Only one game with more than 63 rushing yards in nine games to start the year. And then he was incredible in his last seven games. I don't see a good reason why Lacy hasn't been that good. The two games before this, weeks three and four, he averaged 5 yards per carry, I think.
I think a big part of the reason is his volume. He's had two games this year where he had more than 13 carries.
Okay, but he missed one game, right?
Well, he had three carries against Seattle.
Right, so he had 10 carries.
Against the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs in a game that he got hurt. So I will take those games out. And then yesterday was just kind of weird. Yesterday was just a bad game for the Packers. I don't see a good reason why he can't turn around, guys. That's kind of where I'd come from.
It's almost like the Packers offense, like the upside of it is so high that they need a few weeks to kind of get the machine running. that's the way it seemed last year, and I'm kind of thinking that's the way it's going to go again, because nobody's doubting the Packers offense as a whole, right?
No, not me.
And again, Randall Cobb hasn't been so spectacular the last few weeks either.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So,
all right, cool.
I kind of wonder, though, based on Heath's reaction selling Lacy and not wanting Charcandrick Davis and not buying into Devontae Freeman for so long, just what running backs do you have, Heath, that you're able to make this proclamation?
I had a whole lot of Jamaal Charles. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of Le'Veon Bell.
Most of us are struggling at that position. I hope you realize.
Yeah, you sure are. All right, stamps.com. If you're struggling with going to the post office, if that's a bother for you, if that's annoying, stop doing it. You can do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently. Constant trips to the post office, they get in the way. Use stamps.com to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your own computer and printer. It's so easy and it's so convenient. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com. Use our promo code FFT for this special offer. A 4-week trial, a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in FFT. That is Stamps.com. Our promo code for you is FFT. I'll spend about 10 minutes on winners and losers, and then let's go through the games. So Heat's winners, Andy Dalton, Doug Martin, Justin Forsett. Go for it, Heath. Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton against the Seahawks in a game we all expected Andy Dalton to turn back into Andy Dalton. And then he even threw that awful interception down at the goal line, and then all he did was lead his team back from a 3-score deficit to beat the Seahawks. I don't know what else you want from Andy Dalton at this point. If you don't think he's a top 5 fantasy quarterback this year, then I don't know what else he could do to prove it. And you're not going to get him, so it doesn't matter. Doug Martin getting a ton of volume against a bad team. Now, unfortunately, they don't get to play a lot of bad teams, except they still have the Saints in the division. So I guess he could have a good game against them.
I would like to point out one thing. I was a little hesitant because Jamie asked me and Dave, he said, talk me out of Doug Martin as the start of the week.
Right.
And I guess we did. But the Jaguars, other than the game at the Patriots, and that was just an unfair fight, they had done a pretty good job against running backs. Jonathan Stewart, Lamar Miller, Frank Gore. These guys scored single digits in fantasy points. So I did not think the Jaguars were that bad defensively against the run. And Martin was great. So I thought it was really encouraging. And I think they realize that they're not going to lose and turn the ball over a thousand times a game. They're going to have to give the ball to Doug Martin and out of Jameis Winston's hands.
Kind of douse some water on this a little too?
Absolutely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Martin's stock is definitely up. And I would be anticipating him playing him more weeks than not, the way the last 2 weeks have gone. But Charles Sims is kind of coming on at the same time here. And it wasn't a situation where the Buccaneers ended up winning this game, but it's not like they pulled ahead and then they brought in Sims and let Martin rest for a while. Sims was being mixed in throughout, ended up with 12 carries for 51 yards himself, 4 catches for 85 yards. So I just worry that it's going to become another split backfield. Not that Sims is better than Martin, just that he'll keep getting opportunity.
I'm okay with it being a split backfield if that means that Doug Martin gets 27 touches like he did this week. I don't care how many touches.
Well, when the games aren't close, he's not getting many touches even without Sims in the picture.
Right, that's a different argument, though.
Okay.
But I don't think we can be concerned about Sims' touches yesterday when it was the most touches that Martin's gotten in any game.
I will give the best argument for a sell high on Doug Martin. And I think I'm going to do this. If I'm going to try. He's got a bye this week. Then at Washington. That is not a good matchup. Then at Atlanta. I don't think that's a good matchup either. They've been pretty good against the run, I think. And then the Giants, who going into yesterday were the number one run defense in the NFL, and they can't defend the pass. So I don't know. That might be the best game we see all year from Doug Martin.
Maybe.
Although he does get the Saints and the Bears in the fantasy playoffs.
That is nice. It's tough to sell guys who are going to get opportunity. I get that. But you might want to give it a shot. You might not get that much from Martin over the next 4 weeks. And your final winner, Heath, was Justin Forsett. It is worth noting that Lorenzo Talaferro was inactive, and that helped Forsett get in at the goal line. He got a lot of opportunities there, got a lot of snaps there.
And they wouldn't give him the ball.
They
run a bootleg with Flacco. They throw the ball. I just thought his volume and seeing him in a game against a team like the Browns getting that type of volume, they're going to have more games, I think, with that type of game script, and we're going to see more heavy Justin Forsett volume.
All right, that's great. And Forsett has San Francisco on the road next week. Hopefully he recovers from the ankle injury. Scott, your three winners.
All right, so Thomas Rawls is a guy I'm surprised we haven't brought up yet, along with Devontae Freeman and Todd Gurley. He was probably the storyline at running back from Sunday. And just, this is going to sound blasphemous, but honest question.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a Marshawn Lynch owner and picked up Rawls to handcuff him, am I honestly hoping Lynch comes back? Or do I rather he just stay away?
Well, he's going to come back.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, like, they're going to give him a shot, but, and supposedly, you know, Pete Carroll was saying earlier in the week that it looks like he should be able to go this week, but who knows? I mean, he could suffer a setback Wednesday and be out another 4 weeks.
Well, I'm going to go on the assumption that he plays this week or next week. But to answer your question, Scott, as an owner of both in one league, I hope he stays away and I can just start Thomas Rawls.
Yeah, it seems crazy, right? But, I mean, Lynch was averaging 3.4 yards a carry before he went out, and that was against some not-so-great run defenses. And he's 29 years old and a lot of mileage. I think at the very least we can say Rawls, the Seahawks have found their running back of the future, because this guy looks kind of like Lynch, very powerful runner.
I mean, it was just last week that he had 17 carries for 48 yards.
I know, but 2 out of 3 weeks now he has a 100-yard game. I don't think we should hold the one bad against him.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying hold the one bad. I think he's a great play as long as Lynch is out. I just don't know if that's enough to say all of a sudden he's better than Marshawn Lynch, which is basically what you're saying.
I think there's a case to be made.
All right, and Brandon Cooks. Cooks is interesting. Dave and Jamie yelled and screamed about Brandon Cooks on Friday's podcast. I wasn't there to be the to intervene, but yep. Jamie liked him. Dave didn't, and it took until the final drive when he had like 40 yards and a touchdown on the final drive of the game. Last play of the game, he caught a touchdown.
Oh, saved by garbage time
for him to have a good game. But Scott, you like what you saw?
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by this. And I was on whoever was down on him. I was on their side. I don't remember which one.
Dave,
yeah, because it seemed like they were going to him on just a lot of underneath stuff and relying on him to get yards after a catch, and the role wasn't there for him to have big production. And maybe part of that was because Breeze's shoulder was messed up. Well, Breeze looked a heck of a lot better yesterday. He looked like he could air it out again, and he was going to Cooks deep on several occasions. It wasn't just that ending play. They were using him more in a role to stretch the field, and he delivered. So I think better times are ahead for Cooks and the Saints passing game in general.
I just want to make sure that we recognize in the first 57 minutes of that game, he had 6 targets and 2 catches.
One of them was a big catch though. Big catch.
That's awful.
I don't know that it's fair to say I'm going to count this part of the game and not this part of the game.
Well, when the only part of the game he was good at came when they were down 39-10 with 3 minutes left. That is a different part of the game.
If Drew Brees looked better, and I didn't see it.
He did look a lot better.
Then I think that's
Cooks'
a great
role
sign.
Looked better. That's all I'm getting at
here.
How did
Drew Brees look better and they only had 10 points through 57
minutes?
That's
a good question. I actually wondered that too, because the Saints passing, I think this was the Saints' best game throwing the ball. Well, I mean, you had the big, huge performances from both Cooks and Willie Snead. You had Breeze airing it out again. I don't know why it didn't translate to more
points.
Because
he fumbled twice.
Yeah.
They didn't run the ball particularly well, and they fumbled twice.
I mean, I did not watch the game, so I'm box score scouting here, absolutely.
Same.
But it looks like he had, what, 80 of those yards came on the final garbage time drive, is that right?
Yeah, well, look what he did last year, week two. 80 yards in overtime on a swing pass. But as it stands now, Drew Brees has thrown for 335 yards or more in 3 out of 4 games.
I guess if they continue to be this bad and give him time to be good in garbage time, he could pile up yards in garbage time.
All right, Scott's last winner is Eli Manning. I want to speed things along so we can get to all the games. Eli Manning is your last winner, Scott.
I don't like you naysayers saying nay to my good picks.
I'm totally supporting you on that one, actually. If you think Brees looked better, I think that's a great sign.
Yeah.
Eli Manning,
now obviously, I don't know that we can expect 440 yards every week, but this was his second straight game with 3 touchdown passes. He now has 4 in a row with multiple touchdown passes. And, you know, I talked about how much everybody's struggling at running back. Quarterback's kind of a similar situation, other than the 2 standouts, of course, Rodgers and Brady. And then I guess maybe you throw Andy Dalton in there. Maybe you throw Carson Palmer in there. There's not another quarterback, I feel like, who you feel good about starting every week. Just those 4, and 2 of them are newcomers. So it's a good thing to find reliability at that position. And while Eli Manning, for most of his career, I feel like has been the antithesis of that. I think just the fact that he has a great security blanket and Shane Vereen. He has no running game to speak of. This is going to be the most productive and consistent he's ever been. Now, I'm not saying he won't have a bad game in there because he's Eli Manning, but what quarterback doesn't?
They can't run the ball. He has to throw all the time. That's all you need to know. He just needs Odell Beckham to stay healthy. I only have two winners today. I'll go quickly. Darren McFadden. He's a winner only in the sense that it looks like he's filling Lance Dunbar's role. He had 9 catches on 10 targets. They are on a bye this week, but deeper PPR leagues, maybe you look at Darren McFadden. And Richard Sherman is a winner because he shut down A.J. Green once they switched Kerry Williams off of A.J. Green, and they moved Richard Sherman around. They usually don't do that, but I think that should give you a little bit of pause with number one receivers against Seattle. If you think, oh, Richard Sherman's just going to stay on his side of the field, that might not be the case. So could be bad news for Ted Ginn.
I don't think you move Richard Sherman for Ted Ginn.
No, but maybe Greg Olsen next week. So keep an eye on that. And I'll just get through my winners really quickly. Or my losers really quickly, excuse me. Amir Abdullah. Yeah, we should probably spend more time on that. But Amir Abdullah, 6 for 17, 2 fumbles, 1 catch for 9 yards. And if Theo Riddick is obviously going to catch the passes and Amir Abdullah has been running so poorly... And the only good game he's had has been against San Diego, which is arguably the worst run defense in the NFL. I just don't know how excited we can be about Amir Abdullah right now, guys.
The Lions offense is a mess, Adam, and probably begins at the quarterback, but that's not getting better. I was happy to unload Calvin Johnson when I did, particularly than seeing this game later. I don't have any faith in anyone on that side of the ball for the Lions.
I think Calvin Johnson may be my number one buy low candidate heading into this week.
They've had a really tough schedule. Their last three games were Denver, yes, Seattle, and Arizona.
Arguably the three best defenses in the league.
They get Chicago, Minnesota, and the Chiefs on the road. So 2 home games and a road game in their next three. So I could see things turning around. My concern with Abdullah is Theo Riddick, honestly. If Riddick is gonna, cause I was expecting Abdullah to be really good in the passing game. Mm-hmm. If Riddick is gonna be that guy, I don't know what we're gonna get from Abdullah. And my other winner is, my other loser, excuse me, is CJ Spiller. What the hell? They lost this game 39-17. He played 30% of the snaps. Like, if this wasn't the game to get him more involved, he had 3 catches for -8 yards. When are they going to get CJ Spiller more involved?
Can we update the CJ Spiller, Mark Ingram standings?
Were they tied in catches this week?
Mark Ingram now has 24 catches on the year. CJ Spiller is at 11.
I mean, but seriously, like, he seems droppable to me. But again, this could be a situation where they say, we're so bad, we need to change things. We need to get CJ Spiller more involved. Not saying they will, but they should. We'll talk about how droppable he is tomorrow. Heath, your losers. Matthew Stafford. I want to read a tweet. I sent out a tweet that said, buy super low if you can on Matthew Stafford. And for me, it's just about the fact that he has played tough defenses and he gets easy ones coming up. And somebody said to me, said the worst fantasy advisor ever. Hashtag, give me a break. Hashtag NFL. Hashtag Stafford sucks.
Oh, they wanted to get all the hashtags in there so everybody saw that they think you are the worst fantasy analyst ever.
But then I looked at the guy's...
I think there's worse than you.
Then I looked at the guy's name. His Twitter name is Does Matt Stafford Suck? And his handle is I Hate Stafford. So...
Okay.
I'm glad that guy follows me. Anyway, Stafford's a loser for you. Is he droppable, Heath?
I don't think he is. No, I... The thing that surprised me was, how do you bench Matthew Stafford? I don't care if he's thrown 5 interceptions in the game. How do you bench Matthew Stafford when your backup's Dan Orlovsky? That's terrible coaching.
Send the message.
That doesn't work.
So you'd hang on to him?
It doesn't work?
Not with veteran quarterbacks. You don't send messages to veteran quarterbacks. You send messages to rookie running backs that are fumbling. You send messages to young players that are doing stupid things. You don't send messages to your veteran quarterback that you're paying $100 million. It's the leader of your team.
All right, let's keep him. You say keep him. Your other winners, yes. Your other loser. I'm just gonna keep going winners and losers here. Your other losers, Heath, are Demaryius Thomas and Jeremy Hill.
Jeremy Hill is. I don't think you can start Jeremy Hill again until you see something different. Those 3 touchdowns he scored against the Chiefs were fool's gold. He has been awful the last 3 games. Gio Bernard looks really, really good. Start Bernard, sit Hill. And then Demaryius Thomas, I mean, as bad as this Broncos offense looks, at least Emmanuel Sanders is producing. Yeah, Thomas is kind of getting left.
I don't know, because Emmanuel Sanders doesn't have a touchdown since week 1, or week 2, whenever he had those 2 scores.
Demaryius has only got 1 on the year.
And Sanders only has 2 on the year. I thought Demaryius had been better than Sanders going into this week, though.
Yards per reception down to 10.9.
Is he a number 2 wide receiver going forward?
I don't know that I can say there's definitely 12 that are better than him, but he's a borderline wide receiver one.
Jordan Matthews or Demaryius Thomas, rest of season?
I think it's still Thomas. Jordan Matthews. At least Thomas can catch when they do throw it to him.
Scott's three losers are Jimmy Graham, Alfred Morris, and Chris Johnson. That last one's interesting. Let's start with Chris Johnson.
You want to start with him, huh? Okay, well, here's the problem for Chris Johnson. The Cardinals have too many running backs. And now Ellington hardly played until the end. I think those 63 yards he got came in late. And all on one play. But the fact he pulled off that big play in his first game back, that's a pretty good indication that the Cardinals...
Yeah, I think...
He's reminding them how good he is, and they're probably going to involve him more in the future.
I think the big reason Johnson, if he is a loser, might be a loser, is if they continue to blow teams out, he may get pulled early. Because he was... I mean, listen, he had 75 yards in the first half.
This has nothing to do with him and how he performs. He's been great.
Right.
But
they're not going to go away.
David Johnson was scoring 2 touchdowns in the second quarter. What the heck?
Yeah.
Well, one of those is because Johnson ran at 40 yards and had to be taken out of the game because he was tired to get him there.
Yeah. Okay. But he did get the goal line carry on the first one, which was annoying.
Yeah.
All right. Who's the running back you want the most on the Cardinals?
Chris Johnson. But.
But you think it limits his value just that they're.
Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be a slam dunk starter going forward.
All right. And Jimmy Graham and Alfred Morris.
Jimmy Graham just. The Seahawks aren't that invested in working him into the offense. It's pretty clear at this point. I think 3 of his last 4 games, he's had 30 yards or less and not a ton of targets. And it's a shame because, you know, obviously we know how good he can be. But this kind of goes back to what I was saying about tight ends. As bad as he's been and as down as I am on him going forward, he's still a must-start tight end just because there's that possibility of the 2-score game at some point. But he's not a difference maker for you. He was a waste of a third-round pick.
I will say that he has had 2 games with more than 5 targets, and he has scored a touchdown in both of them. So maybe throw him the ball a little bit more.
He still leads the team in targets.
And
too.
I think they're 2-3, and they better get it together here and throw him the ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alfred Morris, is he droppable for you, Scott?
Yep. I think we've reached that point with him. Now, Matt Jones left with a toe injury, so... If that becomes something significant, maybe that changes because I don't think Chris Thompson is going to be a guy who runs between the tackles much. But the thing about this is the Redskins led most of this game against the Falcons, and Alfred Morris still got fewer than 10 carries. That is a really bad sign because he's, if nothing else, he was supposed to be the guy who helped them run out the clock.
All right. Injuries, news, and notes. Reggie Bush hurt his calf. Jason Garrett says that Dallas needs to control the line of scrimmage more in the running game, and he also said that the Patriots did a good job loading up the box.
So it's the offensive line fault now.
You know, the offensive line I don't think is playing as well as it was last year.
Could it be possible at all that maybe DeMarco Murray, while we have no doubt the Cowboys offensive line had a positive impact on him, maybe DeMarco Murray made that line look better as well?
I think when you look at Romo's year too, I think obviously the line was terrific. And this year, I don't think they've been as good. And it's not just my observation. That's something I read from somebody covering the team.
Okay.
But, for all the talk about the Cowboys saying, we're going to ride the hot hand, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, it's Randall every week. It's Randall every week. Kristen Michael got almost no work. Now they're coming out of a bye. I do think Michael should be on your radar.
We just keep saying that, don't we?
But it's just not an appealing situation, at least until Romo gets back. They got no passing game.
McFadden had 9 catches, right? But 5 came on the last drive, so hard to take that seriously.
Buffalo running back Sierra Wood left yesterday's game as well. Wide receivers Nelson Agholor left with a leg injury. He expects to play this week. Marcus Colston left with an arm injury. That's more good news for Willie Snead.
Yeah.
And A.J. Green had a 72-yard touchdown called back on a holding penalty.
A bad holding penalty, too.
And defensively, DeMarcus Ware left with a back injury. DeAndre Levy for Detroit left with a hip injury. And they also played without Haloti Ngata and Tyrone Walker, 2 defensive tackles. Walker's out for the year. St. Louis defensive end Chris Long left with a knee injury. And Baltimore lost linebacker Elvis Dumervil and cornerbacks Ladarius Webb and Will Davis to injuries. So it was a bad day for some talented pass rushers. Something to consider there going forward. We'll check on those injuries. I think I'm going to cash this week in our FanDuel contest. I had Eli Manning. I had Denver. I still have Le'Veon Bell. I should be able to finish in the top 45%. So play with us at FanDuel.com/CBS Pod. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football. The money is real. They're expecting to pay out $2 billion this year. $2 billion this year. Building a team is very, very easy. Don't be intimidated. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. Over the past few weeks, I've kind of sat down with players, people who have not played FanDuel before. I said, hey, let's make a lineup. And we did it. It took just a few minutes. If you don't want to put a lot of research into it, just, you know, play for a buck or whatever and put, just a few minutes into it. And it's a lot of fun. I think you're going to find that you're going to love it. If you have not played, sign up now. Use our offer code CBSPOD. Our offer code again is CBSPOD. FanDuel.com. CBSPOD is the offer code. They'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200 that gets earned as you play. To the games. Let's get your thoughts now. And we'll try to read some emails at the end of the show at fantasyfootball@CBSI.com. Cincinnati 27, Seattle 24. Any other takeaways from this game? All right, fine. Russell Wilson, 17 fantasy points or less in 4 out of 5 games. Any concerns?
I think he's among those quarterbacks who I said you can't trust to start every week just because only one multi-score game, right?
Yeah, probably.
And he's not really making up for it in rushing yards like he has at times in the past, so he's not thrilled with him.
He's still QB9. I'm still starting him every week.
You're not going to platoon him with somebody?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I think you should.
Your prerogative.
I think you should.
Yeah.
You should platoon him with Peyton Manning this week.
Listen, I think
we've got 9 because there haven't been 8 good ones, you know.
Well, that's not saying that if there haven't been people better than him so far, why are there people better than him moving forward? And you could say you do it based on matchups. We get some pretty good evidence this week and throughout the year so far that going based on what we think matchups are a lot of times doesn't work out very well. Devontae Freeman went up against the number one team in the NFL against running backs. That worked out okay. Gary Barnage went up against the number one team against tight ends.
Well, yeah. I don't want to get stuck on this point, but I just look at it from a head-to-head perspective. There are a good number of quarterbacks every single week who get 2 touchdowns or more. You can't always predict who they are, but they get them. If your guy for sure isn't going to, probably going to lose.
You're not saying that your guy for sure isn't going to. Russell Wilson says, "Hey, Russell Wilson for sure isn't going to get 2 touchdowns."
It seems less likely than a lot of quarterbacks.
Drop Marvin Jones.
I mean, Russell Wilson has the same number of touchdowns as Matt Ryan.
Yeah, you can drop Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Ryan hasn't been great either, by the way.
Yeah, that is a baffling one. More on him in a second. Green Bay, St. Louis. Green Bay 24, St. Louis 30. You've got a rookie running back coming off ACL surgery, and you're giving him 27 carries 1 week, I think. Oh, no, it was 19 carries.
19.
19 carries.
But
that's not bad. And 30 carries this week.
Yeah. I love it.
He is amazing, though. And
I love it because they were down 2 scores most of this game, and it didn't matter. They just kept feeding him the ball. This is what they want to do, and he's fully capable of doing it.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrible thing if you're a Rams fan, but if you're a Todd Gurley owner, it's great.
Tavon Austin did score a touchdown. It was technically on a catch, but it was really more of a run. A little shovel pass, I think, and he only had 6 yards on the day. I didn't buy into it last week. I'm still not buying into it. What do you guys think about Tavon Austin?
I mean, I guess if you're in a league where you start 3 wide receivers and a flex, I think he should be on your roster. And you could start him on bye weeks.
Yeah.
And Chris did have a good stat on Todd Gurley, second running back that we think ever with 30 carries, 150 yards, and his team loses by double digits.
Oh, wow.
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 I think that's surprising.
The only one we could find was Larry Johnson a long, long time ago.
Let's see. James Jones. With Devontae Adams hopefully coming back soon, would you try to sell high on James Jones?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
All right.
Because he was clearly the number 2 even when Adams was there.
I disagree.
He had 3 targets.
I disagree with that.
What's that?
I don't think he was clearly the number 2 when Adams was there. I think he was the obvious red zone and end zone guy.
Right.
But I don't think he was the number 2 option when Adams was healthy.
I don't think he was getting near as many targets as Adams was.
Adams has barely been healthy, so it's hard to say. It was really just that week 1.
Okay.
You know, because I think he got hurt. No, he got Sherman in week 2, and then he got hurt in week 3 against the Chiefs. All right, Atlanta, Washington. Why isn't Matt Ryan putting up more fantasy points? I don't think he's playing all that poorly. This game wasn't so good. But
Devontae
Scott,
Freeman's putting up the points.
Yeah.
That's why.
You think that's what it is? You think Ryan will eventually get those multiple touchdown games and those fantasy points?
I'm not optimistic because you think back to when he first broke into the league. From his rookie season, he was a good quarterback, but he wasn't such a great fantasy quarterback because they leaned on Michael Turner so heavily. And I think they're back to doing that with his coaching staff. But, now he has Julio Jones now and he didn't then. And obviously that's a huge red zone target. So I don't think he's going to be straight up number two fantasy quarterback. He'll probably still be a number one, but he'll be one of those guys who you're not necessarily starting every single week.
I mean, I just can't get over the idea that we've only got five quarterbacks that we're starting every week and we're just streaming the whole rest of the league. Like, I'm still starting Matt Ryan every week.
Well, look at Drew Brees. I mean, he's, with the performance he had, I would think he's back to being on the more start more often than not list,
but he scored like 19 fantasy points, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't before last week. It changed that quickly for him, and I think that's a lot of quarterbacks are in that same territory. Maybe Phillip Rivers becomes one of those guys, depending how he performs tonight.
I really feel like that's how you lose at fantasy football, is changing. Like, Drew Brees is a top three quarterback, and then 2 weeks into the season, I'm not starting Drew Brees anymore, and then he has a good game in garbage time, and now Drew Brees is back in the starting conversation. Like, if you're always reacting to what happened the last 2 weeks, it's going to change over and over and over again throughout the year. If it's a guy like Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson, I'm just going to start them unless they're bad.
Well,
they've both been top 10 quarterbacks.
It's important.
They haven't been bad.
It's important why it happens.
I mean,
football is the sport with the most elasticity, both from week to week and season to season. We know so very little about what's going to happen going into every year. And, you know, you could, if you're not reacting, there's a good chance, like, if you're 0-4 and you just do nothing about it, you're probably going to lose.
If you're 0-4, you're
if you're 1-3 and do nothing about it, you're probably going to lose. You have to react quickly because the season is so short and there's so little sample. You can never get a comfortable
sample. But what if you dropped Sam Bradford? You'd feel pretty dumb right now.
No, you wouldn't. You could just pick him up again.
That's not true. Other people have waiver claims too. You can't just drop a guy and expect to be able to pick him up. I dropped Chris Johnson in week one. After week one, I think I dropped Chris Johnson. I was the Ellington owner. I wasn't taking Chris Johnson seriously. Guess what? He got picked up.
Well, I don't think Sam Bradford was a popular waiver claim recently. Was he?
But all it takes is one game, and then he's a popular waiver claim, and you're not the only one who wants him. Speaking of Sam Bradford,
I think you need to have your finger on the pulse constantly in football more than any other fantasy sport because things change so very quickly.
I'm all for being active, and especially with the guys on the bottom of your roster, turning that over a lot.
And Bradford was one of those guys. He was a bottom roster player.
Not for me.
Well, should have drafted better.
He's still my starting quarterback.
Excuse me? No. That's a ridiculous thing to say. One more note on the Atlanta game. Leonard Hankerson had a wide open touchdown. Matt Ryan overthrew him. Hankerson also left the game but came back in the second half. Philadelphia 39, New Orleans 17. All right, Sam Bradford. So did we just see the Eagles offense come alive? Or was it more a project
Maybe.
Of the Saints?
I mean, they were playing the Saints. And I don't want to go. I mean, Bradford looked really ugly in the first half. He threw two picks.
He threw two picks in the end zone, two interception game.
It wasn't that great.
Okay, it was better than Drew Brees.
You can't say that.
No, it wasn't better than Drew Brees. He scored more fantasy points than Drew Brees.
It was definitely better than.
How is that possible?
Because Brees fumbled twice and threw an interception. He fumbled twice and threw an interception. He had three turnovers, which is exactly what plagued Drew Brees.
Bradford had two interceptions.
And what? Look at the numbers. They had the same amount of yards and two touchdowns. So the only difference was the fumble. And Bradford had two more fantasy points.
Brees lost another fumble, but I mean, he was the higher rated passer on the team.
And Bradford's didn't all come in garbage time.
I don't really know why that matters.
Well, because you can't. I don't like to rely on garbage time production from my starters.
Okay, that's fair. Josh McCown's getting a lot of production.
Well, Josh McCown was in a very competitive game.
Right. But you just said earlier in the show the reason you can buy into McCown being so productive the rest of the way is because of garbage time.
It's because his defense is not good. They're still playing competitive games.
Give me, by the way, Bradford should have a huge week against the Giants this week. They obviously have struggled in the passing game. Give me your take on the Eagles running backs, Heath.
I'm still really nervous, but I was glad to see DeMarco Murray do something positive because I hadn't benched him yet. Ryan Matthews looks good too. There are people out there, especially during the first half of this game, that were saying, because Murray was not having a good game, Matthews had a couple of long runs. I'm not seeing situations, though, where Matthews is making people miss and picking up big yardage that Murray wouldn't have. And I'm not seeing situations where Murray is doing bad things and going down behind the line of scrimmage where Matthew wouldn't have. I feel like teams are geared more towards the run when Murray's in the game, and maybe that's why Murray had 7 catches for 37 yards. Like, he was really involved in the passing game. I do feel like we're seeing the Eagles' offense. I mean, it makes sense that it would take them a while to get going. They brought in a new quarterback. Yes. They brought in a new running back. Their offensive line is all jumbled up. It would make sense if they weren't good the first 4 weeks of the season and then continued to get better.
Right, and a quarterback who missed all of last year with a knee injury, so it... You're right. All right. Hot takes now because we're at the 55-minute mark. Denver 16, Oakland 10. How worried are you about Latavius Murray Scott?
Slightly, but it's another situation where how many trustworthy running backs are on your roster in terms of production and when it happens. I still think he's the Raiders' best running back, and they'll figure it out pretty soon.
He's my favorite running back that played in this game.
Well, we knew this was going to be a tough matchup for him, and yeah, to the Broncos running backs. You know, Ronnie Hillman nearly had a touchdown catch just before halftime, but it was knocked away. My thought is just like, Peyton Manning's been making running backs amazing throughout his career, and if Peyton's not good, I guess I'm just not that interested in either of these guys. Is that kind of where you guys are?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't want any part of it.
I just wish... Gary Kubiak talked about using Hillman more this week, and it didn't happen. It was the same thing he's been doing all year. So, yeah, I'm not confident in that changing.
I think they're worried about his size and his workload for Ronnie Hillman.
Well, and he's really had one good run this year, right?
Yep.
And everything else has been pretty off, just as awful as C.J. Anderson.
Arizona 42, Detroit 17. Detroit had the ball for 36 minutes and 32 seconds. Arizona just killed them. Carson Palmer threw 14 passes, 3 for touchdowns.
I would love to see what Carson Palmer and this offense could do if they played in a game where they weren't up by 4 scores at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like every game they play is a blowout.
Except for the Rams game when they actually lost.
Yeah. I can't wait to see him against the Steelers next week.
Golden Tate finally had a good game. He did fumble, but 8 catches. It wasn't that good considering he had 18 targets. 8 catches, 74 yards. You know, I don't know what else to say about him. A lot of those targets came with Orlovsky. But a lot came with Stafford. They threw the ball like 70 times. They set some type of record.
It wasn't insane. Like 70. It was 70.
70? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to New England, Dallas. Your take on the Patriots running backs.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lewis is set as who he is. I mean, he's not going to get double-digit carries, but he'll get some at the goal line, and obviously he'll be a big part of the passing game. So he's the more valuable of the two overall. I preferred him when Blunt was not in the picture, but he's very much in the picture, so it's just the way it is.
Would you drop Terrence Williams?
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing I'd say about Williams. He should have had a touchdown on the last play of the game. He destroyed Malcolm Butler, got so open, and Brandon Whedon just made a terrible pass. This was Whedon's worst game. It's probably going to be Castle after the bye. But he is on a bye, and then Dez could be back after that. So drop Terrence Williams?
I can't see any reason to hold on to him.
Yeah. Eh. Giants Niners. Don't buy into Colin Kaepernick. The Giants are so bad against quarterbacks, but he does get Baltimore at home this week. So could you buy into him at least for 1 week?
I'm not really motivated to, no.
It's a very similar matchup. Two teams that cannot get to the quarterback.
Right. Yeah, I don't. I mean, there are certainly worse options this week. I'd rather play Kaepernick this week. Peyton Manning's got a good matchup against the Browns. I think I'd rather play Kaepernick this week.
Carlos Hyde, it was nice to see him get in the end zone. He had a very big fourth quarter. Giants were very banged up on defense. I think that contributed, but he's got a lot of talent. If you didn't watch the game last night, this guy is really good.
Oh, I think he's right up there with some of the guys we've talked about, with Todd Gurley almost.
In fantasy value or in like real life?
Real life.
Yeah, in fantasy value though, it's probably not in that group, right?
It's weird. It's probably not. It's weird that it's not, because I think both teams are going to be in the same situation. I just don't know if the Giants or the 49ers are going to run the ball 20 or 30 times if they're down by three scores. And the Rams will just keep running it.
Chicago 18, Kansas City 17. Jay Cutler scored 21 fantasy points. He also scored 21 fantasy points against Oakland. And now he gets Detroit on the road. He's 53% owned.
I think he's a little undervalued. He was always kind of like Eli in that he was unreliable, but since there are so few reliable quarterbacks, and I feel like Chicago's going to have to pass a lot because their defense is so bad. He was the guy I was planning to start before I made that deal to get Brady in that league.
Should we be worried about Travis Kelce?
Nah.
I mean, a little, if you're expecting a top three tight end season.
Yeah, do you think his value increases, decreases, or stays the same with the Charles injury?
Oh, I think it decreases. With tight ends, you need touchdowns. And the Chiefs are going to score very few touchdowns.
Okay.
You can make the argument that it'll increase, though, just because he'll have to be a bigger part of the game plan himself.
I think we covered Cleveland-Baltimore pretty thoroughly, although Flacco is three weeks with 24 fantasy points or more at San Francisco this week. So he's interesting. He's 80%.
Great matchup.
All right, there are some decent options out there for you. Kamar Aiken had a good game, so keep an eye on him if Steve Smith is out again. Buffalo 14, Tennessee 13. How should fantasy owners feel about Marcus Mariota, 9 fantasy points, and Tyrod Taylor, who did score 23 fantasy points because of that rushing touchdown?
That's what Tyrod Taylor does. He scores 20 to 25 fantasy points.
He's number 5, I think, in year-to-date production after those 4 I named. And I don't trust him on the same level because of the 107 or 109 passing yards. But yeah, those rushing yards can make a big difference if
I don't think
they're consistent.
I don't think there's been a quarterback that has been as consistent as Tyrod Taylor through the first 4 games.
Brady.
What?
Brady.
Well, I guess.
Taking the super elite 2 out of the discussion.
Well, Rodgers hasn't been. Rodgers has been bad the last 2 weeks, less than 20 fantasy points. Bad.
Yeah, I guess
him.
Palmer is another guy that's been right there at 20 points.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think bad for Rodgers is a different.
Well,
less than 20 fantasy points
is not that good, but you're right. That is. All right. Buffalo, Tennessee. I think we're good here. I think we covered the Titans running backs. And finally, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. All right, guys, I said it last week. I'm worried about Mike Evans. I think he's going to have an inconsistent year because of his quarterback, and I think fantasy owners of Mike Evans are pretty frustrated right now.
Well, and Vincent Jackson's kind of in the same boat. At least it seemed like a situation where one of them was going to get the 15 targets, but Winston only threw 19 times in this game because Doug Martin was doing so well. So if Winston's not going to throw it a lot all the time every week, then that's only going to make these two more inconsistent. And I'm not dropping either, but I don't think either's a must start.
I get what you're saying.
I want to make sure we don't do America a disservice.
Alan Hearns,
go Google Bernard Pierce blocking when he's on punt coverage.
Oh my God, it was awesome!
You have to see this.
Yeah, it was so funny.
You can just watch it over and over. You find the vine, and it just loops, and you can just watch it over and over and over.
It'll so funny.
At least 10 minutes.
Alan Hearns had 116 yards and a touchdown. Allen Robinson had 2 touchdowns. Bortles has been very good.
Well, Bortles, I think, is 6th after Taylor.
Wow.
He's not going to face the Buccaneers in a situation where he can throw for 4 touchdown passes, but he has more multi-score games than Matt Ryan this season, and that's saying something. He is going to have to play from behind a lot. I don't think he's so different from Josh McCown and how much you can honestly trust him in fantasy, but the fact that he's capable of delivering the ball in that situation is very good for his receiving options, as we were saying for McCown with Barnage and Travis Benjamin.
And Julius Thomas returned. He had a quiet game.
Yeah, he didn't play many snaps even. That's not what kind of like the same situation with Tevin Coleman. We heard one thing on the snap count and then something different happened.
Yeah, it's tough to believe those reports sometimes. Thank you guys. Good stuff here on this Monday. Getting people set for a waiver wire show tomorrow. And enjoy the bonanza tonight.
Oh, God. Sorry
in advance. For Scott White, Heath Cummings, I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye.